All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You have no shame at all.
It's a special day.
Well, you know, every day Sam prints me up what today is. It is National Football Hangover Day.
Yep.
National Poop Day.
Ooh, I've done that twice today.
Wow.
TMI.
National Flannel Day.
Quite the celebration.
I wore a flannel to work.
Dan, I don't see anywhere on here where it says it's National Ski Patroller Day.
It's International Ski Patroller Day.
It's international. Global.
Oh, yeah, it's global.
He's gone global.
We are a global movement.
With that toboggan, Scott.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Taking it on tour.
Well, Dan, thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
For your service.
Yes, you're quite welcome.
By the way, speaking of thanks, I would like to thank the Sheehys, who sent me four pairs of toed socks.
Ew, wait a minute.
So you can wear flip-flops.
I did not know that was a thing.
It is.
Those are socks that look like mittens on the end.
You didn't need to know and didn't want to know.
I did not.
If you can think it, they can make it and sell it on Amazon.
And clearly.
The Sheehys sent me four pairs. Dan and I were opening these up in the newsroom.
Wow.
With a nice note that said, "For Scott, hope this helps. Sorry about the toe and for Sam being a jerk." Thank you, Sheehys, for your understanding and your compassion.
I hope your toe gets well soon.
No, you don't.
How is it doing?
Well, we're on week four.
We just started week four. It was 3 weeks ago yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you move it?
Yep.
But it's slow but steady progress, I think is what we would call it, Dan.
Like he's walking.
Ready to take that little piggy to market?
Mm-hmm. Had a nice time at the Outdoor and Fishing Show over the weekend. A lot of people who listened to the program came up and said hello. And
good. How was that?
It was very nice.
Did you buy a boat?
Yeah, they've got some boats there, don't they?
There were a lot of boats. A lot of fishing rods. A lot of dead deer heads stuck on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
The archery guys were right behind us. That was cool. I'm not going to say the school. It's a local high school.
Okay.
But a guy comes up to me at the event and he said, "Hey, I can't use any names here. I want to be careful because I can't prove that what he said was true." And he said, "You and I go way back." And I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah, we played football against each other."
Oh, no way.
In the 80s. I said, "No kidding." I said, "Who did you play for?" And he played for one of the schools that we had played. And he goes, "Gosh, I want to be careful. I don't want to say any names." He goes, "I just want to tell you, And he mentioned a name, and I go, "Oh, I remember him." He goes, "Yeah, he was a dirty one." And he told me, he said, "Our coach would pay us a bounty if we would hurt some of your players."
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I won't say what school.
Did he put you on your rump?
I won't. No. No. I started, but I was the worst starter on the team. I mean, come on.
Won that bench.
But he did say that his coach paid a bounty.
Huh.
And he named some of our players.
Okay, that's despicable.
I'm like, I told him, I said, "You're lying." He goes, "Scott, I swear to God, what I'm telling you is the truth."
What'd he pay him with?
Cash.
Wow.
Pretty sure that's illegal.
I think it is.
Can I tell you a story that's funny, not funny, but really funny? You remember there was this cryptic billboard that someone placed over our fair city.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, "Call this number for like a pep rally."
Pep rally in your pocket.
And it was in Kansas City Chiefs colors. So it turns out that an ad agency in Philadelphia was responsible for that phone number. And there's kind of a good reason. It turns out they were going to donate.
It's a good reason.
It is. I think it was $5,000 or $10,000. To two different charities for every phone call that went into this number, because Chiefs fans called the number and ended up getting the Eagles fight song. That's all
five
it was.
Grand.
Kind of good, clean fun. I mean, that's kind of a fun little poke at the bear,
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
Oh my gosh. So I posted on my Facebook page about this billboard. And of all the responses that I got, there was one that stood out. And he has a pretty unusual name. And the response was basically, yeah, my phone has not stopped ringing. My phone number is one number off.
Oh, God.
The billboard
oh, God.
Posted phone number, right? And so I've reached out to him to see at some point, can you please call into the program? Because I know he's like, okay, this was funny the first 10 minutes my phone started blowing up, but not funny now. It's so funny, Scott.
So why are they calling his number and not the number on the billboard?
Dan and I think we got it figured out because it's not one or two people that were accidentally calling this man. It was like bajillions of people. Here's what I think. The phone number posted on the billboard included the letters that correspond to numbers, Go KC. It was an 816 number, 816, whatever.
Don't give out the
Go KC.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If you think about it, Dan and I think the Go, the O in Go, people were not dialing O, they were dialing zero.
Right.
That's my guess.
They changed the number themselves.
Yeah, that's my guess. So, you know, I always hate it when people spell out things to call in a phone number because then you've got to find an old school phone pad.
Well, and anybody
you've
got to
find the letters. All right, there's a G, the G's a four. You know, you got to do that. And I think when they saw O, they did a zero. And now this poor guy in Kansas City is getting blown up with phone calls from people thinking there's some pep rally that has something to do with the Chiefs, and it's just some poor dude that lives here.
And if you weren't texting when T9 was a big thing, then you aren't well versed on the fact that those numbers correspond with letters, and so maybe they looked something up to try to come up with what the letters meant. Who knows?
I've reached out and I said, like, is it possible that maybe you join us on the program at some point and we'll
Why don't we just call him?
Well, we could. I hate to say that. He's probably at work. And like I said, I think in the beginning it was probably really funny with him. Like, okay.
Not funny.
Because anymore. A couple times he answered. And I'm sure it was like a Kansas City fan going, some billboard told me to call this number. And he's like, it's not me. Bless his heart. Have you ever had that happen where like
no.
your number was close enough to like a commercial
number?
Like,
no.
Never?
Mine doesn't even spell anything out.
Well, so there are people
yeah, it doesn't spell anything out.
On the Facebook that say over the years, like, this has happened. You know what I mean? Like, I had a number that was one off. Like, can you imagine if your number was one off, like, Pizza Shuttle back in the 90s? Like, 842-1212. Call us now, Pizza Shuttle.
What was it again?
Call 842-1212. Call us now, Pizza Shuttle.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Text line, yes, all phones have the numbers or the letters on the numbers, but
that's
if people
true.
Don't know to look at that.
Well, how would you know to dial the G and the K and the C?
You would have to go into your numbers pad, which everybody should have on their cell phone. It's not something you probably do very often.
Right. All the letters are on there.
Yeah, it used to be a much bigger thing to spell out the number, and then it would be fun. Ooh, a six. Ooh, a seven.
T9, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Have you never looked to see if your number spells out anything?
I just did. It doesn't.
It doesn't?
No. I was a master T9 typer.
It can't, because one of the numbers in my phone number is a one.
What are the other seven?
I'm not going to tell you. You already know.
Are you sure?
Why don't you spell them out for us, and we'll look for you.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah, we're fine. Officials at the Walt Disney Company who work in pricing for its theme parks admit that the experience has become unaffordable for many average Americans as executives at the Mouse House have grown addicted to price hikes. Yvonne Kendall had dreamed of taking her family to Walt Disney World for years. But when she finally made it happen this past November, she felt less like a guest in a fairy tale and more like a character in a financial horror story. The price tag on a two-day adventure for herself, her husband, and two kids was more than $3,000.
Yep.
That did not include airfare and lodging.
That's not getting there. That's just being there.
Which her parents paid for, the airfare and lodging. 2 days of park tickets, $1,123. Line skipping passes, $208. A meal with costumed characters, $219 a person. And two Mickey Mouse bubble wands, $60 to the bill.
We used to think it was expensive when we worked there, but man.
Now, I used to go to Disneyland
really expensive now.
Every single summer when I was out in California working. And I remember it going from $50 to $120 in 3 years.
Wow.
It was $50, then it was $90, then it was $120 back to back to back years.
It is an unpopular thought, but I say it often.
Thank God.
When this comes up on the show, I truly think it is the biggest scam on earth.
Oh, it is.
Because as parents, you are somehow guilted into this is something you have to do.
We took Maya and Sarah. We did.
I didn't.
You have to create a magical
vacation. I did not. No, your life is magical. Every day of your life that you are in the United States is magical.
But we also talk about how people choose how to spend their money. Some people will take that week-long, very expensive vacation to Disney World. Some will buy season seats
for the Chiefs.
The
for
Chiefs.
Royals, yeah.
Some will buy a bunch of tickets to the Speedway.
But Dan, you don't have the same as parents. There isn't the same, like, I don't want to call it a guilt factor. What is,
I think
what
you can.
Is it where you are almost expected?
It's almost like a forced rite of passage.
Yes. Well, where the Chiefs and season tickets, that's not a forced rite of passage. And neither is, and let's go see the Grand Canyon or
and
whatever.
You can sell those off. The Chiefs tickets, you can sell off mid-season.
Yeah, you can make your money back.
But I'll never forget, and God bless her, but Shonda, when she was a kid, you know, they didn't have a ton of money, so she never got to go to whatever one's in Florida at Orlando.
Disney World.
Is that Disney World? Okay.
Epcot.
And so when we went down in, I don't know, like 2008 or whatever, we would get on the bus at 7 a.m. and we wouldn't come back to the hotel until 10 p.m., because
yeah, you're paying for that luxury.
Oh my God. Shonda wanted the girls, and I understand this and appreciate it, because she didn't get that experience when she was a kid. She wanted Sarah and Maya to have
not
the entire.
For it. I took the kids to Worlds of Fun and told them Mickey Mouse was off that day.
The entire experience.
I love that for you. What I don't understand is what are they referring to?
It's closed.
What are they referring to as middle class families here?
Not accurately.
Because just now can't afford it? You mean haven't been able to afford it for 15 years?
Yeah. I mean, we were very middle class when we took the kids down.
How old were the kids?
Sarah was 7. Maya was 4.
Maya then doesn't
she
even
no
remember.
She has no
that's
memory.
Part of the whole, that's part of the whole reason I think it's a scam. When you have toddlers, they're not even going to remember that.
My mom took my sister and I have no recollection.
My mom took me when I was a kid.
I would have a recollection of? The credit card statement. I would have a very vivid recollection of that number when you got back.
They get you coming and going down to Disney. I mean, it is a ripoff.
It's a lot of fun. And if
no, it's not. It's not
go,
even fun.
Says you.
Right.
Other people say it's a lot of fun.
I don't think I've ever met that person.
It is peak Instagram, Facebook posting kind of stuff. Look what we did.
Ugh.
Resist, people, resist.
All right. Quick break, 913-586-7798 here on Dan and Parks. By the way, the once free fast pass system at the Disney theme parks has been replaced by what's called Lightning Lane. And there are different price tiers for that. The priciest version costing $449 per person per day. Without Lightning Lane, visitors can expect to wait more than an hour for the popular rides.
So you spend $5,000 on a trip to Disney World and $5,000's on the low end. And say you're there for 3 days and you spend 2 to 3 hours per line per ride, you're looking at 18 rides in 3 days.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Name another product where the prices go up exponentially for you to cut in line in front of other people.
Eggs. Oh.
Not inflation based. Can you name anything else where you think like, even with a dinner reservation, can you think of any other service where if you pay more, you don't spend hours of your life not getting service. The baseline should be that everyone gets service.
You do. It just depends on how much you're willing to wait.
With a toddler in a line for an hour, I would rather you hand me that ballpoint pen.
So you can stab your eyes
so that I can gouge my eyeballs out.
And if it's a new exhibit or a new area of the park and new rides, go ahead and take that hour to 2 hours and call it 8 to 12.
For a family of four, a typical four-day visit with a stay at a budget Disney hotel cost $4,266 last year. That is up $1,000 from just 5 years ago. And keep in mind, I didn't even mention an airplane.
Budget and Disney should never go in the same sentence.
913-586-7798. Steve in Olathe. Steve, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon. My children are in their early 40s, so over 30 years ago, we went to Disneyland before the fast passes and the fast lanes and all that stuff. Our first day, we stood in line over 6 hours, and my children did not want to go back the next day.
We good, lucky you.
At Knott's Berry Farm and the beach.
You're going, oh, we're going back.
Lucky you, man. Because we did go back day after day after day.
I don't mean to knock what someone else's idea of a vacation looks like. Like, I get it. The things I like to do, probably other people scratch their heads. I don't understand why she likes to do those things. However, it feels wrong.
It feels like you're being ripped off.
This is set up. It feels wrong. Like, if you want to have an enjoyable experience, that's just going to be another $400 a person. That's different than you're paying $10,000 for a close seat versus $2,000 for a seat a little bit further away. Everyone still gets to go and watch that game. This feels dirty.
Well, and part of the reason I think is, and you had mentioned the guilt of being a parent who has a kid who wants to go to Disney. And I know that there are some people out there who absolutely love going to Disneyland or Disney World. If I'm not mistaken, Jake the Phone Snake over on Dare's show down the hall, I've known him for years. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he goes to Disney World every single year. Maybe Disneyland. I can't.
But as an adult,
every year,
it's very different to just go, right? Would it not be?
Yeah, you get to remember the misery.
Well, and Disney adults are a real thing. I mean, there are people in their 30s that save up for months just to go spend that week at Disney.
Why?
Well, I'd like to dive into that onion a little bit as well when it comes to Disney adults.
But I don't want to shame what people do on vacation. That's kind of not my point. My point is I don't like the way the corporation is set up so that there's the haves and the have-nots, even though everyone is paying thousands of dollars to be there.
Because as a society, I think we despise gouging. And that's what they're doing.
It feels like gouging.
Yeah, they're gouging you. You know, do you want to wait in line for 2 hours for this ride, or would you like to get in there in less than 20 minutes? That'll be another $450. Well, you want to ride with your kid, right? There's another $450 to get the Lightning Lane pass. 913-586-7798, 913-586-7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment. Also, an executive order out today. The penny is to be made no more. No more. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
I hate to be the voice of inflation reason on this program. And we've talked about eggs and just mind-blowing expense of buying an egg right now. But over the weekend, I thought, you know, I had some champagne.
What did you have champagne for?
I had been saving it for maybe something to celebrate that we will not talk about because that did not come to fruition.
And you still drank it?
And I thought, let's get some orange juice and I'll just have a mimosa. I love me some mimosas. And my person said to me, have you looked at the price of orange juice lately? And I go, nope. And he says, well, it's going to be like $11. How bad do you want a mimosa? And we kind of laugh. And I go, orange juice is not $11. It's not $11, Scott.
How much is it, Dana?
Would you care to read the original price of the knockoff? This is like the Highland Dairy gallon of orange juice. Read the original price. Do not read what we paid for it.
We're talking great value here.
The original price was $14.49.
$14.49.
Did you get a whole crate?
Am I in the Bermuda Triangle of the Twilight Zone of grocery shopping?
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Tell them what I ended up paying.
$10.99. But then tell them why you paid $10.99.
I don't know.
You had it delivered.
They tried it along with $100 in other groceries. It's not jacked up that expensive.
I bet if you went
expensive.
In the store, it wasn't $10.99.
I'm going to have to stop and check tonight.
Do you not realize, Scott, that they list the original price as if they're doing me a favor at $14.49?
Right.
The final price of the item.
To have it driven to your house.
No, it was $10.99. Look up right now what a gallon of orange juice. I thought I was going to fall over.
Did you buy it?
Yes.
And you got nobody to blame but yourself.
Champagne's not going to orange juice itself.
Yeah. Okay.
When did orange juice go to $11 and that's the sale price?
When you're having it delivered.
No, no, no.
Now, I could see a jump in prices because the place where we happen to grow a lot of oranges, or at least the stigma is that we grow a lot of oranges there, was decimated multiple times this year.
Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So between the bird flu and the wildfires, ain't nobody eating breakfast right now.
Well, I got a jug of mango punch the other day for $3.99.
Okay, from Reddit 1 week ago, has anyone else noticed that store brand orange juice is now $11 a gallon?
Huh.
And look at the price tag. It says save, as if like you have a shopper card.
$10.99.
It's going to be $10.99.
Well, you know what you can do?
Not drink orange juice.
Correct. Wait for the price to go back down, and then get your mimosa. Otherwise, just drink the champagne straight.
I want to be clear. This was not pulp-free. This was not freshly squeezed from a grove that included a man
from
that was making it for me. This is just like...
That is the first time ever that the word grove
has been said
on this air.
You just heard it, and I just dropped it.
Okay. Why is some pulp or heavy pulp more expensive than pulp-free?
I don't know, because...
You're charging me for not filtering my orange juice?
For not filtering it. Bingo.
I cannot have pulp in any juice that I drink.
Turning into my mother.
I love heavy
pulp. It's disgusting.
I want my juice to be crunchy.
I am literally turning into my mother. I just roam around muttering at my shoes about the prices of things at the grocery store.
$3.99 at Hy-Vee right now.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
All right. Then I get this text from a friend over the weekend.
You're shopping at the wrong stuff.
Speaking of scam. She says to me, Dana, the scammers are now involving my dog. That is a line crossed. And then she sends me this text, Scott, that went into her phone. Her dog's name happens to be Ginger. That is legitimately her dog's name. Okay? This is the text. Ginger, appointment Monday, February 3rd at 7:20 a.m. with Chrysler Animal Hospital. Reply Y to confirm. In to cancel, and to opt out, go here. And then there's a thing you click on.
No.
Her dog's name is Ginger. She said, I've never heard of this animal hospital. I don't even know that this exists. I assume if it's Chrysler, it would be in Independence, right?
Yeah, probably.
How do they know her dog's name?
Here, I'll show you how. It's called this.
Facebook?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. People put their phone numbers on there.
They post pictures of their kids, of their dogs with their name.
She does say, I am sure they got it off my Facebook.
Yep.
She talks about her dog quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. So does she have her phone number on her face? I've always been amazed at the people that put their phone number in their about section.
I don't know why you would.
Now, when Facebook first started, that was a requirement.
That you had to have your phone number on there?
It was part of your information that you had to put into the system, and then you had to go in separately and designate specifically that you did not want the phone number included.
Okay.
On your public page.
I don't think that should be public information. I mean, certainly not through someplace that's selling your stuff. And maybe this is a legitimate animal hospital, but I doubt it because A, she's never heard of it, mm-hmm. and B, she didn't have a vet appointment this week. She just didn't have an appointment.
So here's a Facebook friend of mine. Look at this. She's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
That's her right there.
Yep.
Okay.
Darling.
She is the sister of a very well-known woman here in town.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. Go down just a little bit.
Under about.
And there's her phone number.
I would reach out to her and just say, are you aware you have your phone number on Facebook? Because you can actually put it so that no one sees it or that only friends see it. Your friends don't need to see your phone number. You know why?
They already have it.
They already have it.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And by the way, the veterinary scam is one that has been going around because you want to pull at somebody's emotions and get them riled up that something needs to be paid for right now. Tell them that Fido is in dire need.
This is someone, I won't say who it is, but I'm obviously very close to them, right?
Yep. Okay. They don't realize that they need to go in settings and hide that. I would reach out to every single one of them and say, I mean, if you are bold enough, Scott, to trespass onto someone's property and remove their hose so it doesn't freeze, the very least you can do is DM somebody and say, hey, your digits are out there for the whole world to see. I would take that down.
You would love if I was your neighbor.
Oh, my God.
You would love it because I look out for my neighbors.
A blue Stafford robe is coming again.
I would much rather have someone reach out to me and say, your phone number is out there for the world to see, scammers and all. I would much rather you do that than come over in your weird man robe and unhook things on the side of my house. I'm just saying, like, now, I would rather you warn me that, because a lot of people don't know you have to go into settings to hide the phone number.
No, I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
Go ahead.
Finding phone numbers.
I know. But it doesn't mean you have to
broadcast it for
the world to see.
Make them work for it.
Yeah, at least make them type it into Google. God.
All right. Story here from the New York Post. U.S. Border Patrol agent sees more than 2,000 pounds of meth worth $19 million hidden in a shipment of jalapenos and cucumbers at the southern border last week.
Spicy.
Agents make.
May we inspect your cucumbers?
Sam, I'm gonna go the rest of my life okay, because a lot of people don't realize you and I are in different rooms. I could go the rest of my life without hearing you in my ear going, spicy. That sounded almost gross. Agents made the bust, which also included more than $140,000 in heroin among the veggies, after drug dogs alerted inspectors to a possible narcotics bust inside of a tractor trailer in Texas. They confiscated 8,200 packages of meth, 26 packages of heroin. Okay.
They also stopped an elderly woman who alerted to the drug dogs, or the drug dogs alerted to her. The elderly woman had a belt of sorts on, that belt made of duct tape. Inside the duct tape, a lot of drugs.
Really?
Okay, but let me ask, were they hers or did someone say, like,
you're going to be a mule?
Yeah. Because,
well, typically mules aren't doing it voluntarily, well, if that's what you're getting at.
I remember once, several years ago, we were at the airport and they flagged this poor woman. Oh my God, she must have been 95 years old. They flagged this poor woman for extra security. She was in a wheelchair. She did not know up from down. And my initial thought was, why?
Mm-hmm.
What? Leave that poor woman alone. What do you think she's
but
got?
But she's the last one
and
you would suspect.
Yes. No. It wasn't that. Somebody said, Dana, someone that works for the airport that knows us, Scott, said, the reason we do that is they are the most likely to be unsuspecting, used to have something brought onto a plane. Like, that woman didn't know her name when they were
easily
searching.
Easily manipulated.
Or someone just slipped something into the back of that, you know, compartment behind the wheelchair, then that makes it onto the plane. She said, we don't really think a 98-year-old woman, you know, is a mule.
Well, think of We're the Millers, obviously, in that movie. They chose to be the mule.
But that she could either be manipulated or someone could slip something into her crochet bag. Or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. A story here from a gentle parent. Says she doesn't force her 5-year-old son to say sorry, as it is disingenuous. They're called gentle parents. That's a new term.
Gentle parents.
And says it has taught him to hold empathy and communicate his feelings. Kelly Enos, who's 34, turned to gentle parenting when she was struggling with her son George, who was then 18 months old, hitting her The mom turned to TikTok to share her worries, and a stranger recommended she look into gentle parenting, a style that focuses on empathy, respect, and understanding. Kelly found it ridiculous at first, but after researching, she started to try it out, dropping "don't" from her vocabulary and telling George what she would like him to do instead. She also stopped forcing him to apologize and instead guided George to step back and look at what had happened in a certain situation.
Okay, I don't mind taking the word "don't" out of your vocabulary if there are more positive ways to say that. But are there not times where someone should and needs to apologize?
Yes, clearly. Yes.
Gentle like parenting is the death of
society. The NFL for that halftime performance last night.
Wow.
It wasn't that bad.
It was, Sam, I'm with Dana. I was miserable.
You got to throw me something that I understand or have heard of.
I couldn't pick Kendrick Lamar out if he walked in the door right now.
Throw some Lady Gaga down there. I can do that. She's hip.
She's awesome.
Serena Williams was down there.
I saw.
Hilarious, by the way.
Gentle parenting.
Gentle parenting.
It's a new trend.
Okay, let me look this up. Is it a trend or did one person do it and blog about it?
It's a trend. And the problem is it goes to extremes to the point that there is no discipline in a home because they don't want to be seen as abusive. And obviously there are examples of abuse.
Yeah.
I'm not discounting
those. This rings of like free range parenting to me.
It's essentially the same thing. You let them do whatever they want to do.
No.
And when they act up, you know, you say, "Now, Timmy, why do you think I was upset when you did that?
Let's examine it."
Yeah, instead of, you know, saying, "Dang it, Timmy."
Okay. Okay. 913-586.
What if you say something gently, like, if
you're
you don't
die.
Do if I ask, there are going to be severe consequences. And you are going to go to bed early without your dinner. Like, if you say it in a calming, gentle tone, is that gentle parenting?
If you don't apologize, I'll knock you into next week.
Dang, you stole my line.
Our parents used to say that. I'll give you something to cry about. I'll knock you halfway into the middle of next week. I never knew what that meant, but you got the message. You knew it wasn't good.
It meant you would be unconscious.
Yeah, I will
and
knock
come to
you
on Wednesday.
Halfway into the middle of next week.
913-586-7798.
That was not gentle parenting.
586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Stay tuned because I got a funny feeling we'll be doing Operation Stormwatch on Wednesday's show. We had Brian Busby on at 3:15 today, and he's forecasting 5 to 8 inches of snow starting at around midnight tomorrow night through the afternoon hours of Wednesday.
The city just held a news conference on this. Listen to this. Impactful snow in the Kansas City region is expected Tuesday night through most of Wednesday, with some areas seeing 5 to 8 inches. Kansas City officials held a news conference around 3 p.m. to address the city's plan on prepping the roads and removing the snow. The plan is the same as it always is when we get snow, but nevertheless.
To prep the roads and remove the snow.
Yep. Salt trucks have been mobilized this afternoon. City staff says the pre-treatment of roads has already started to prep for light snow.
Okay. Then what's 5 to 8 inches?
Well, tonight we're expecting a dusting up to an inch if you are further north. And then the real stuff moves in Tuesday night into Wednesday morning.
Okay. And if we need to, we will, of course, do Operation Stormwatch. Tammy in Overland Park. Tammy, good afternoon. Hi.
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 This is an interesting topic. I'm afraid of what our kids, or these small children, are going to grow up to be. I have a family member who does the gentle parenting. And at Christmas, it was me and two of my other grandkids, and he bit all three of us.
Oh.
And when something was set,
Wait, he bit you?
Yes, he bit me on the arm. I had a bruise for weeks. And then he bit one of the other grandkids on the foot, and then the other one on his side. And when we told them, they were like, "Oh, Noah, you know that's not kind. That's not how we show our feelings." I'm like, "Your kid's going to get kicked out of daycare."
Yeah, I was going to say,
sure.
You can't go biting. And I don't know what the gentle parenting thing is, or if it works or doesn't work, or all of those things. But if it's behavior like biting, I feel like there needs to be a more aggressive approach.
Like a spanking.
Well, I do not believe that that works either.
Well, there's certainly a happy medium. I was working my Sunday activity yesterday, and this kid was told he could get a snack, and he got a snack and a drink. And his mother decided to read him the riot act right there in the middle of this establishment for like 3 minutes. And then she turned and apologized to me, and with a concerned look on my face, I said, don't apologize to me, apologize to him. Mm-hmm. That's obviously too far on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, you can go too far. That's fair. Carter in Belton. Hello, Carter.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you.
So one of the ways that my dad used to scare me into complying when I was a kid was he would go get the what he called the receipt. It was the paper that he got from the hospital saying, you know, how much everything was. And he said, don't make me go return you.
Oh, no.
Very good. All right, take care of it.
Scott, right. When we get back, did you hear about the sad but baffling story out of Florida where a young person has died drag racing? The age of this little girl, what? Huh. This, you can drag race at age 7?
Oh my.
Scott, 7.
Who did she drag race with? Who was the competition?
Other 7-year-olds?
Okay.
Do they do that, Sam?
News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.